Good evening, everyone. Thank you for being here. I count it a blessing to be up here. You can hear me, right? All right. So the adversary's been picking at me this afternoon. It's all good, though. I'm not going to let him win. I'm here tonight to present some thoughts that I've had, honestly, since prior to when David asked me to preach. The thing is, I believe the Lord put it on more than my heart, because David and Rick both preached a similar subject. So I have my take on this, and I pray that it brings you food for thought. So, our Father's love. It's something, and I guess I should say, I can't speak for anyone else that gets up here, but when I get up here, it's usually something that I need, very much so. And the love of our Father is something that I think is my tank's half full. Let's put it that way. I want my Father's love, but I still fall victim to my humanness. And I find with the world today, there are many times that I'm listening to the news, or I'm watching the news, or there's something about the activities that are happening in our world today, and my thoughts aren't of love, empathy, sympathy. My thoughts are about the anger I have for what I consider stupid. I don't hate people for their differing opinions. But I guess I have to have a better understanding of other people's understanding, and that it doesn't mesh with mine. And I judge it. I judge it too often. I judge it as stupid, and that's a bad word. But I do, and I get angry, and I have thoughts that I shouldn't have. Because I think that too often people didn't get a good swift swat when they were younger. I think people weren't corrected too often. And I know that people today, there are so many that don't have God's love. Because they've never had that person in their life that shared it with them, even once. And so, you know, it's something I have to work on for myself, to stop having those thoughts, to stop going to those places, because that only leads me away from the Lord. We're going to start in Romans chapter 8. Starting at the 31st verse. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Do you often think about that? I personally, it's not something that crosses my mind too often, and it should. I'm here in this house with you. And we hear the Word of God each and every time we come here. We speak of the Word of God. We study of the Word of God. But yet, that simple statement, what can be against us if God is for us? It's not on the tip of my tongue every day, and it should be. It should be on yours too. 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, and this is Paul speaking, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I can absolutely say I never thought about that the love of God can never be taken away from us. You might go to Romans 1, verse 24, and it talks about how God lets them over to their own lusts and their own free will. God may step back from us, but that was our choice to separate ourselves from him. Did God ever stop loving us? Just because God gave us our free will and allowed us to veer off the path, did he ever stop loving us? That's not what the scriptures say. Not what that scripture says. I can tell you that I've been blessed to sit in that Sunday school class outside those doors and listen to elders speak. And I've learned so much, and we've studied in the Old Testament. And I tell you, when I read these scriptures, when I read this scripture now, I think about the Old Testament and how often God, yeah, he got angry with them. Yeah, there was punishment for them. But he never stopped loving them. There was always that out for them. I say it that way, but I mean there was always a way to regain yourself. 1 John chapter 4. Apologize, I'm not going to be like DA and let you guys just sit in Romans all, you know, do this. We're going to jump around a little bit, all right? 1 John chapter 4. We're going to go to the fourth verse. This is a little bit lengthy reading, but starting at the fourth verse. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. That's a wonderful thought. But didn't I have love before I knew God? I mean, I think I experienced love before I came to the church. I was 33 years old before I actually knew that there was a difference between God and Jesus Christ. We know they're one. But I knew nothing. And I know that I knew love. Of course, my parents loved me. I saw their love. I accepted their love. But looking back, I don't think I was able to reciprocate love the way my parents loved me. I didn't know it. I didn't understand it. I thought love was sweaty palms and a beating heart, and that wasn't the love that we're supposed to know. That's not God's love. Verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation. I practiced that so much before I got here. Propitiation. It's T. Yeah, there you go. That's right. Sean said it right. Sorry. Let me start that over. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God loved us, we ought also to love one another. These scriptures keep doing the same thing. They keep telling us that if God loves us, it's not about loving God back. It's about loving one another. It's about loving each other. This is the part that I fall short in. And I say this in that I have no ill will towards any human being. And I'm sorry, I was raised that's the way you lived. You have no ill will towards any human being until that human gives you reason. Right? God doesn't say that, does he? That's where my error is. I live by the old rule, and I need to live by the good rule. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected. If we can accomplish that love that God and Christ has taught us to have one to another, it's not about perfecting ourselves. That's the perfection of God. That's his reward. That's his joy, is when he sees us doing what he asked us to do, and we accomplish that. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Do you testify of that? I probably fall short here as well, but I stand before you to testify that I believe that Jesus Christ is my Savior. I believe that he came and gave his life, that I may have life, eternal life. The same for you. Whoso shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Right? We love him because he first loved us. He loved us. He took a scrap pile and made a hot rod out of it. Right? He takes each and every one of us in our worst of times, and he waits and waits, and that opportunity comes. That opportunity comes when you have that moment that you feel that little spark of his love. And it sets you on a different course. It takes you on in a different direction. He loved us first. Before I ever knew him. I mean, I always believed there was a creator, and I say that, I'll tell you that time and time again. I don't know how many times as a kid I woke up at sunrise laying on the bank of a lake, and it looked like a piece of glass, and there might be a bird chirp, there might be a fish jump, but it was movie perfect. And I knew in my heart, and I remember telling myself, there's something greater. There's nothing that could form that. There's no way that all of this, that beautiful oak tree, that fish, that bird, none of that came from one cell. It didn't. And I knew that as a young person, but I didn't know God. I had no idea what God's love was. And boy, was I missing out. I mean, I look back now and I was missing out. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. It's a difficult thing to do, but when you have God's love in you, it's possible. I say that, and I know for a fact that it's a struggle to fill yourself with that light and that love. That trial tonight was absolutely that. Libby's in a little spot. The fancy keypad lock on her mom's house, the battery died in it, and she can't get in. I called the locksmith. Couldn't get a good answer out of him. He showed up and said he was going to have to destroy the doorknob. I said, no, we don't need to do that. She called me back 2 seconds. Dad, he wants to charge me $50 because he drove out here. I'm like, what? He wouldn't give me a price. You know, I'm like thinking, I ought to just go over there and take care of this guy, right? That was a test. Could I have love? Could I just not think the things I wanted to think about him? Gave him $50 and sent him on his way. Right? That's not the love part. The love part is that I didn't go get in my truck and go talk to him. Right? I didn't get angry about it. I wasn't happy about it, but I didn't get angry with him about it. I want to be that person that stops and thinks about the other person. Not just how I'm feeling, what's the other person feeling? God shows us his love in mercy and compassion. We're going to go to Psalms 103. Verse 3, Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Let's jump over to verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger. Michelle's smiling at me. She knows what I'm talking about. It's so easy to just react, right? It is. But I want to be like God. I want to be merciful, and I want to be slow to anger. And so the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. I'm human. Sometimes that tank is empty. I want it to be full all the time. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. Old Testament. He scattered them. There was pestilence. There was sword. There was death. But there was always those who came out of it. He always had. There were just, he never destroyed the whole group. He had a love for them. He had a love for those who were able to come back from it. We're reading about the sacrifices of the children that keeps coming up, and it was a terrible thing, and those, they didn't survive. If God showed up here in this congregation, excuse me, on a Sunday morning at any time and judged us, would the whole of the congregation, I say no. Sadly, I say no. But there would be those who passed on with him, who he chose to keep, just like he did in the Old Testament, just like he did with the Israelites. Right now, right here today, if he showed up to judge us, that's what I say. He has mercy. He has compassion. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. This one I thought about. And how many times have you sinned and immediately were scorned by God? He might lean over and whisper in your ear and give you a hint that you've taken a wrong path, you've done something that he didn't agree with, but he never scolded you. He never reprimanded you. He didn't strike you dead with a bolt of lightning just because you sinned once. Just because you sinned once. He has mercy. He wants you to succeed. I thought about that. I'm like, yeah. Either that or he just wants you to pile up all those sins, right? So he can, no, that's not it. That's not God. He's merciful. He watches over you. The thing is, if you do mess up, if you do sin, and he whispers in your ear and you refuse to listen, that's a different story. But with God's love, you'll hear him. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. And I'm going to tell you that my discernment of the word fear in this instance is respect. It's respect. If you don't respect God, if you don't respect his His infinite power, His infinite strength, intelligence, knowledge, but most of all, His love for you, because He doesn't strike you every time you sin, every time you veer from that path. He's not reaching out and swatting you. You have to have respect for Him. For He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. I put a little note here. Our nothingness. What is it in the second chapter of Mosiah that King Benjamin tells us? We're nothing but dust. Our nothingness, right? God knows our frame. Why does God know our frame? Our frame, our makeup. Why does He know that? Because He made us. He's our Creator. He's our Father. He knows us. And that's why He's merciful. As a parent, there are different ways of parenting. And sometimes parenting means constantly being on your kid, and sometimes it means letting your kid make a mistake. And I know for a fact growing up that making mistakes taught me more than somebody constantly telling me what to do. Right? And I believe that's maybe the way that God is raising us, raising His children. He's given us a path to stay on, and He knows each and every one of us. Well, me personally, if somebody said, you need to stay on this beaten path, this little narrow path, don't veer off of it, and I'm walking along, and there's woods to my right and woods to my left, and every once in a while I see a bird or a deer or something, that adventuresome person inside me at some point is probably going to step off of that path and head a different direction. I like cutting trail, right? I like doing that. God says, stay on this path, do this. But I veer off. Is He mad? Is He going to strike me down? No. That's where His mercy and His compassion come in, because He sees I've been distracted. He sees that. And He wants to see how far maybe I'll go. And He's going to whisper in my ear. He's going to send that message to me that I veered off the path. And do I listen? Or do I continue breaking trail and moving away? Right? If maybe I'm getting off here. But in my head, I kind of have that analogy of that path and veering off. And the farther away I get from that path, the darker it is, like the sun is going down or the forest is getting thicker, the less light there is. And when I hear that voice, there's a little spark of light, and I realize that the path that I was on was so brilliantly lit. And if I just go back there, it'll be all good because I can see where I'm going again. Right? That's kind of a crazy analogy. Coming from my head, so it's all right. Let's go to Micah chapter 7. Oh, here, I did it again. There we go. All right. Verse 18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of His heritage? He retaineth not His anger forever, because He delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and Thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. His compassion and His mercy for us leads to us repenting, us looking towards Him for direction, for salvation. And he's merciful. He's willing to take all those sins, all those iniquities that we've built up, that we've had in our lives, and when we come to him and we accept his love and his guidance and we take Jesus Christ upon our heart, he's willing to take all those sins and ball them up and throw them away. They mean nothing. They're gone. It's not like he puts them on a shelf and says, okay, this is Rusty's stockpile. We're going to see if he keeps doing good or if he keeps doing bad, because then I'll go back and I'll add all these back. He doesn't do that. He's willing to get rid of all of our sins and our iniquities. He's merciful. He's compassionate on us, the dust of the earth, the weakest, the biggest nothing that there is. 1 John chapter 3. First two verses. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I'm getting to understand this Christ-like thing more and more, right? By having God's love in us, by loving our brother, by loving our neighbor, by heaping love on our enemies, Christ returns and we will know him because we will be like him. If we have that love within us, if we have that ability to carry God's love, to give God joy because we have his love in us and we share that love with one another, with strangers, with people without, those without, and we share it with them, that brings joy to our Heavenly Father. And we will know. We will absolutely know. We will see him as he is. How is he? He's love. Compassion, mercy. How do you pronounce it? Hosea? Hosea. Chapter 11. Told you we were jumping around. First four verses. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. As they called them, so they went from them. They sacrificed unto Balaam and burned incense to graven images. I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by their arms, but they knew not that I healed them. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love, and I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws, and I laid meat unto them. I picture this when I read these four verses are simple. Simply, the way I see these, I picture my father and myself. And growing up, my father was always that strong person in my life, and I wanted to impress him, so I was an individual. I did things, I didn't listen. Even to my father, who I respected, I didn't listen. I went out on my own. I thought that's what he wanted. I went out to conquer things, and I did things. But I remember growing up and then getting to that point where I did that. And I read these four scriptures and I think of that. You know, we have God our Father who is our Father, And he pulls us up, which how many times did my dad pull me up out of the dirt, out of whatever situation I was in, and dust me off and set me on my way again, right? And then eventually I took that yoke off. I took that leash off. I see that yoke in this situation as a leash or the reins like you would put on a horse, right? It was something he guided me with. And I took them off. I didn't need that anymore. Did my dad stop feeding me? I got to say no. I was in another state, but I could always count on my dad. I came home, and no matter what I did, I always came back to my dad, and he never said no to me. Your Heavenly Father is the same way. As long as you keep returning to Him and never deny Him, He will always feed you. He will always be there for you. All my life, I'm going to say it again, I didn't know God until I was 33 years old. That's what I feel like this is saying. Unknowingly, they were being fed and kept by their Heavenly Father. And they didn't know it, and they just went a different direction. They didn't recognize it. And I know you guys are all perfect, and I get up here and I say these things about myself because none of you would ever do anything like this. Nothing. But to go through life just head down and just charging forward and doing whatever you think is right at that time and never stopping and looking up and seeing who's actually taking care of you. Your Heavenly Father is always there. He is because He loves you. And He wants that love that He has for you to be in you. Make a mistake, turn to God. Repent, ask forgiveness. Do what He tells you. Stay on the path so that light is always there, so that you won't stumble because of the darkness. Don't be afraid to stop and ask. I think that was part of my issue, was I had gone so far and I didn't want to ask anybody for help because I at some point I realized that it was me that put myself there. Isaiah 54. Starting at the 7th verse. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that hath mercy on thee. He's promised to never stop loving us, to never stop being there for us, to never stop being ready to take us back. If we veer off, if we get off the path, if we cut that trail, He'll always be there waiting for us. It's an everlasting love, an unfailing everlasting love. If you want to read what David says about it, Psalms 136, David elaborates on this everlasting love through the whole chapter. I have two more scriptures. They're both in John. Let's go to John 15. So I'll tell you that this scripture was a light in a dark spot in my life, but it has it has different meaning now than it did then. So chapter 15, we're going to start in the 9th verse. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. This is Christ speaking. If you don't have a Bible with red letters, this is Christ speaking. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might be might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I don't know about anyone else, but I have thought about that. Would I put my life on the line for someone else? I mean, I praise anyone who went in the military and actually had to serve overseas. I praise the police officers. I praise the firemen. I praise all those people that do it every day. But could I do it? Could you do it? I know that every parent in here says, oh, I lay my life down for my kid every day. Well, yeah, I've said that too. And I never wanted my daughter to suffer anything. You know, she's dated young men, and some of them I liked, and some of them I didn't. And you know, she was hurt, not physically, but emotionally, and that's different. If she was put in a situation where her life was on the line, it is my hope and my prayer that, I would put my life down for hers, for my grandsons. But think about it. Would you do it for a friend? Would I do it for any one of you? Would you do it for me? I'd like to think I would. I mean, I would hope that you would, for me, at least have that thought. But Christ did that for you. We don't have the pleasure of having been there with Christ when he was telling his disciples what was going to happen. We don't have the pleasure of having been there when Christ walked and talked and taught and healed. But I believe he did. I believe Christ died on that cross for me, for you. That love he has for everyone, do you have it for everyone? Do you have it for your brother? He commanded us to love our neighbor. Do you love your neighbor? Can't talk about God's love without this last scripture. John 3, we're going to do 15 to 17. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. If that's not love, I don't know how else to describe it. Our Creator sent his Son to die that we might have an opportunity for everlasting life. It helps me better understand how I should be, and I hope that that God's word came out tonight, and that maybe someone else needed that too. Thank you.